If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for once again tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. You know, a lot of times when Paul is getting ready to hit that button, it's like, okay, am I going to do what I normally do, or are we going to come up with something creative today? But we're going to stick with the old tried and true this morning. We are glad that you have tuned in to the Refresh Radio program, and pray that it will be a blessing to you. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. I talked on yesterday's program about this, I believe, and that is I'm going to interrupt my study on Thou Shalt Not Steal. I've only got a few more references to make about that. But we've been in Malachi for a few days now, a few programs, and I want to share with you some things that are in Malachi chapter 3 and chapter 4 that are big-time blessings to me, and I hope that they will be encouraging to you, challenging to you, inspiring to you, and that you will see what a wonderful, wonderful God that we serve. So I'm going to take you to Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, and I'll begin reading at verse number 13. We're not going to talk about every verse, but we will talk about a few relevant passages leading up to verse number 16 is where we're really going to put our main focus. Malachi chapter 1 and verse number 13, "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up, they even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord, who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." So here in chapter 3, we have seen on numerous occasions that God was paying attention to what was being said about him in a negative light throughout the nation, throughout the community. And God, in each of these instances, says, "Your perception is not reality. I need to enlighten you. I need to educate you." And this passage from verse 13 through verse number 18 has to do with the mindset that the people had adopted about their service to God, about their worship of God. And God starts off, he says, "Your words have been harsh against me." And their response was, "What have we spoken against you?" And God's reply was, "You have said it is useless to serve God." I want you to realize that the scripture promises that there is not one single solitary act that you have ever done for God that has gone unnoticed. There has not been one person that you have reached out to share the love of Jesus Christ with that God did not take note of. It is something that captures God's attention. Every time you come to the house of God, every time you are praying at night, if you are weeping before the Lord, he takes notice of every tear. God is a very, very attentive God, and he wants you and I to see that it is not useless to serve him. It is a high privilege to serve him. it has eternal purpose to serve him. You know, getting ready to come into the radio station today, I was praying, meditating, thinking on what was going to take place today. And all of a sudden, I came to a realization. My wife shared a testimony that she had communicated with her not too long ago by a person that my wife had ministered to, and now that person had not only given their heart to Jesus, but now they had sent a child away to camp, and that person gave their heart to Jesus. You know what? Those people, they've been to Merit Assembly of God once. They've been to Merit Assembly of God once. But I want you to know that there were a lot of words spoken. There was a lot of living out in front of coworkers and things like that. There was a lot of seed that was sown. And not only did it make a difference in one person's life and one family's life, but now it has generational impact. Please do not be short-sighted and impatient. We live in such an instantaneous society. Yes, I am that guy. I am the guy who is standing in front of the microwave as it is heating food up way faster than what it used to take to be able to heat up leftovers. I'm the guy that's waiting there and saying, you know what, that's probably hot enough by now, and not waiting the extra 5 seconds. Of course, I don't like my food, you know, at boiling temperature anyway, so I want it to be just right. But we live in such an instantaneous society. We want instant gratification in everything. Nobody or very few people have developed the skill of patience and waiting before God, and it shows up in our society. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners? Well, first of all, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You and I are supposed to be going about not as mourners, not as victims, not of people who are remembering all of the things that we've lost and all of the fun that we used to have, forgetting all about the consequence and the pain and all of the downside of that. Well, listen, if you and I have the mindset that serving God is just this very laborious thing and it's got no upside to it until we get to heaven, our impact is going to be extremely, extremely small. And so I want you to see that there is a side effect to that. There is a consequence to that. And because they had looked at God, at serving God as something that is useless or without a point, people were now called blessed, and they really had a pride issue, an issue that God opposes. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's always important to remember that you don't want to be on the wrong side of God. And you and I, we have to realize that the devil is a very shrewd enemy. And he comes in and manipulates pride in all sorts of different ways. And I've told the story here on the radio program before. One Sunday night, we had a tremendous church service. It was an absolute blast. We had a meeting scheduled afterwards, and it was the last meeting that I tried to schedule on a Sunday night because that meeting did not go at all the way that it was supposed to go or the way that I expected it to go. And so everybody went home remembering the meeting instead of the church service, and on the way walking over to make sure the fellowship hall was all locked up, I can still take you to the point where God said, Bob, your pride has got to die just the way that everybody else's pride has got to die. We have to really be on our guard because pride, it sneaks in so stealthily. It comes in an unassuming, it doesn't show up on your spiritual radar, and the next thing you know it has a tendency to grip your heart. pride was Nebuchadnezzar's greatest issue, and God humbled him. God, give us humility. Those who do wickedness are raised up, and they even tempt God and go free. There, it seems to be as if there is no downside to living in a way that is contrary to the word of God. Psalm 73 is a great reference point to go to whenever you feel like that is the case. Remember that what you're seeing right now is not an accurate reflection of what eternity is going to look like. Right now, we live in a fallen world. People say, well, why doesn't God intervene when all of this bad stuff is going on? Well, at what point do you want him to intervene? Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What we actually mean when we say that is, I want to establish the standard here so that God will deal with anything in anybody else's life that's causing me pain or suffering or grief or heartache or a person that I love or know. But you know, we have a God who is extremely merciful, who does not want any to perish, but he wants all to come to repentance and have everlasting life. So we need to realize that God is mercifully working in people's lives. Okay? What's the response? How do we resolve this issue? I'm glad you asked. Verse number 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord, who meditate on his name. You and I are supposed to have fellowship with one another. And when we have the right attitude towards God, it is not going to lead us away from other people. It is going to lead us to other people who have a similar reverence and a similar attitude of worship, a similar respect for the things of God, and it causes us to have fellowship with one another. Missionaries from the foreign field say, we don't necessarily suffer from all of the same denominational detachments that tend to happen here in America. We realize on the mission field that we need one another. And so I want to encourage you, Don't just hang out with people that you're in the same spiritual camp of. You know, we had a tremendous event over in Orlando earlier this year that had representation pretty much from the widest spectrum of Christianity that I had seen. And all the reason that they were there was to come to that place where God would send us out into the harvest field to fulfill the Great Commission. That was the purpose. But after that meeting was over, there were people that said, well, we don't like it because this person was there, and we don't like it because that person was there. And there was all of this stuff, and it's like we only want to hang out with people who cross every I exactly the way that we do, and or dot every I and cross every T exactly the way that we do. And you know what? There's a lot to be learned from other people in the body of Christ. We need to recognize that we are God's gift to one another. The body of Christ is a blessing. And so we need to communicate with one another. And it goes on in verse number 16, and it gives these people who reverence God and are meeting together and talking with one another. And God says, and by the way, I'm eavesdropping on your conversation. That reality is, it ought to be a blessing that we know that God is not just a silent observer in our life, where he said, okay, you go on and do your thing. I'll come back in a few thousand years and you know, we'll take you where you're supposed to be. That's not it at all. God is with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. and he pays attention to our conversations. Listen, God heard it in the Old Testament when they were complaining. That means that I'm pretty sure God hears it in the New Testament when they were complaining, and he hears it now when we're complaining. But when we're gathered together and we're praising God and worshiping God and encouraging one another in the faith, provoking one another to good works, God says, I'm listening to that, and he's rejoicing that is the point. And he says, I'm going to write a book. It's a book of remembrance. A book of remembrance. I got this project that I want to work on between now and whenever, you know, my journey with the Lord here on earth ends, about things that I don't want to forget and things that I don't want other people to forget. Now, I don't know how I'm going to plot the strategy to be able to pull that off with an already extremely busy schedule, but I'll be able to make some headway to it. But God says, I don't want these people to go on with the misunderstanding that I am not taking notice, and for all of eternity it is going to be recorded. You know what? Not one of their names is publicized here in the Bible, but in heaven there is a book that is filled with names of people who revered God, of people who met together with other believers, people who wanted to encourage one another. God said, I want this book written that those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Now, if you are anywhere near my age or a little older, there's a lot of negative connotations that come with the term meditation because of transcendental meditation and things like that from like the 1970s. I want you to understand that biblical meditation is not the same as Far Eastern meditation. Far Eastern meditation, the concept is that you sit in a position, or you put yourself in a position, and you empty your mind of everything. Their concept of meditation is that there is no thought going through your mind. Well, I've got news for you, and that is this. If you have a vacuum in your life, the devil will be more than glad to fill it. He really will. Biblical meditation is not emptying your mind. Biblical meditation is filling your mind. It's filling your mind with the Word of God. It is filling your mind with the passages from the Bible. It is filling your mind with how much God loves you and how much he cares for you. And so if we would be filling ourselves up the right way before we go and encounter the world, I think we might have an abundance in our life that we could share with other people. Someone posted a picture and said, see if you can figure out what is wrong with this picture. And it was a person who was putting the wrong fuel into their vehicle. That has very expensive consequences, let me tell you. You don't ever want to put the wrong type of fuel. You don't want to put gas in a diesel engine, and you don't want to put diesel in a gas engine. It is not going to be pretty for your wallet. Well, if a car requires the right fuel, how much more do we require the right fuel? We need to make sure that we come on a daily basis and say, okay, God, I need to be filled up with you. I need your word today. I want to come with listening ears, oh God, so that you give me the words to say, so that I will be able to impact people. Verse number 17 says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them, get this, my jewels. There's a footnote at in my Bible that says that word jewels could be translated special treasure. Special treasure. Look at how far the concept of the community was, that it was useless to serve God. And God said, for the people who fear me, who meet together, who talk with one another, who meditate on my name, they're going to be known as mine, and they are going to be known as my special treasure. How does God treat his special treasure? If you have something that is very near and dear to your heart, you put special protections in place to try and guard that. I remember a movie from a long time ago, Richie Rich, and some people were after the secret vault that the Rich family had, and they had all this money all over the place, and they said, if this is how much money they have in their house, can you imagine what is in the vault? And so they went into the vault, and it wasn't at all what they thought it was. It wasn't about the dollars and the cents. It was about the place where the memories were kept. A lady that I know said, if I had a vault, I would put in it all my family pictures, all of my treasured memories, so that I would never forget these things because they're irreplaceable. See, money comes and money goes, but there are treasures that are irreplaceable. God considers you to be one of those special treasures. He says, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. I will tell you this, there is a distinction between how God treats the obedient and the disobedient. He says, I am going to show them mercy. I am going to recognize them as a child of mine who is serving me, not as a child who is being disobedient. The very last part of chapter 3 says there's a distinction between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Today, I want to encourage you by telling you it is still worth it to serve God. You say you don't know the hurt, the pain I've had. I want you to know it is still worth it. But Pastor, don't you realize how painful society is and how corrupt society is and all that? It's still worth it to serve God. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Instead, continue in the faith. Press on. Continue to serve. Even when you think nobody else is watching, God is watching. When you're cleaning the church and other people don't even think that the church, you know, they kind of think that it's just a snap of the fingers and the church is cleaned and the lawn is mowed and all of that sort of stuff, you've got to recognize God is there, and not one thing that you ever say in faith, not one thing you ever do in faith is ever going to be forgotten by God, and you will in no way lose your reward. Okay? Verse number 18 says this, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked. At the beginning of this passage, the people had the concept that there was a distinction between the righteous and the wicked, where the righteous were the ones that were, or the unrighteous were the ones that were walking in blessing and favor, and the righteous were going about as mourners. And God said, you've got that exactly backwards. You got it exactly backwards. And he said, it's the other way around. We have a television in our bedroom. And sometimes I will just turn the television on just to try and blot out some of the neighborhood noise, or if I'm going to take a nap, which is, if that happens, that's a Sunday afternoon. That's about the only day that happens. And so if I'm there to take a nap and all of a sudden I hear something, you know, for me, one of the things that helps me to go to sleep is if there's golf on the channel, because it's not going to be raucous or anything like that. It's just going to be kind of kind of there blocking out some of the noise. But I'm trying to go to sleep, so I will not position myself in a way that I'm seeing the television. What I do is I position myself so that I see the mirror, which shows me a reflection of what's going on the television. And believe me, I know it's not the best way to fall asleep if you're trying to fall asleep, but you know, it works for me. So there, we've addressed that. But when that reflection doesn't show me an accurate picture of what's going on, it shows it to me in the opposite arena. It shows it to me inverted. And so a person that's golfing right-handed, it looks to me like they're golfing left-handed, and a left-handed golfer, it shows that they're golfing right-handed. And I have to remind myself when I'm looking at that reflection, this is a backwards picture, and it's exactly the opposite of what I'm seeing. I want to remind you today that it's a good thing to fellowship with other believers. God takes note of it. God's there right there in the midst, and he establishes his throne right there in the midst of all that you are talking about. God says, keep it up. Keep it up. Don't give up. You're on the right side. You have a place in my heart as a special treasure, and I am going to protect you. I am going to watch over you. You will in no manner lose your reward. Listen, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and even more so as the day of the Lord approaches. You and I need other believers. We need to be in fellowship with other believers more now than we've ever been. Society is not the same as it was 40 years ago or 50 years ago. If you're looking for it to go back to that, it might be a while. It might be a while. But there's one thing that is always available, and no one can pass a law that is going to prevent it, and that is, you can have the right attitude towards God, and you can have the right attitude towards other believers, and you can enjoy the special treasure relationship that God wants with you. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my my rest.